If you're weak, lean in.
Yeah.
Lean into the Spirit of God. If you're confused, lean into the Spirit of God. If you're lost, lean into the Spirit of God. Keep showing up.
Yeah.
Stay consistent in God's Word. Stay consistent. Crawl your way to the presence of God every single day.
Hi, friends. Welcome to Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where my friends and I talk about God's Word and the real stuff of life, and we hold nothing back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Aaron Cluley, Jay, and of course, Joyce Meyer. We're all in different stages of life. A young career woman and mom to two sweet kiddos. An accomplished songwriter facing an unexpected new life's journey. A leader, creative, and author with a heart for adventure. And a world-renowned Bible teacher whose personal story has impacted millions. And there's you. Because sometimes you just need to talk about life with your girlfriends. So consider yourself one of us and let's talk it out.
Hi, friends. Welcome. We are so glad that you are here with us. And you are going to love meeting our next guest. You probably know her well, but we're so glad to have Taylor Madu here with us today.
Thanks.
And of course, Jay and Aaron, too, yes. My favorites.
Yes. Of course.
Of course. And their matchy jackets.
Twinning.
Yeah.
And we're twinning, too.
We've got the camo. We've got the same shoes on.
I have the black.
So, I think we're all
coordinated.
We're all very well imbibed today.
Yeah.
But Taylor, where she came to many people's attention, and you may know this, is for Halloween, she on social media was Joyce Meyer.
and a really good one.
It was
really
good. Honestly, it was so
an incredible
good.
One, right?
You just asked me an incredible one.
Honestly, it was incredible.
Nailed it.
Now, we'll get back to that. That's really important. But she's also the wife of the pastor that you co-pastor with at Dallas Social Church, Pastor Robert Madu.
Yes.
And you have three really, really beautiful kids.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're a content creator. And so talking about the social media thing, let's get back to Joyce.
Great mom, Joyce.
What inspired you to be Joyce for Halloween?
Okay, so I'm going to give y'all the backstory, okay? The good stuff. So I listen to Joyce every single day of my life. She's my hero, okay? And it's so funny because I was like, I told Robert when we were planning our Halloween costume, I was like, we always usually do it together, right? So in the past, we've been like Wizard of Oz, or we were, I'm like, one time we were Cruella de Vil, like 101 Dalmatian, what is it called? Whatever it's called.
Was he a Dalmatian and you were Cruella?
So I was Cruella, my kids were Dalmatians, and he was a firefighter.
Oh, nice.
So he just kind of like stick it in there, you know what I'm saying? He just kind of goes with it.
It's about me and the kids.
He was a firefighter, that's that, right? But he's usually last minute because he's like, I don't want to participate, but then he does want to participate when it's like the day of, right? So this year I was like, you know what? I said, babe, I'm just going to do it on my own. I said, I want to go as Joyce Meyer. And so he actually was like, oh my gosh, no, don't do that. Don't do that because I don't know if she's going to get upset about it like you want. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm going to be the best Joyce Meyer you've ever seen, right? And I was like, I'm going to hopefully get her attention. That's the goal, right?
And you were fabulous.
And so I did it and literally no regrets, you know?
None
it's
whatsoever.
Like, and here we are.
Here we are.
You know, I did it and here we
it
are.
It was so fun. Just the spunk, the attitude,
yes,
you know?
And
I showed it to Joyce because, you know, I saw it and I thought, oh, she's going to love this. So I showed it to Joyce and she looks at it twice. Like, I think she thought it was her.
I look good.
And she's like, she does look like me.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you nailed the movement of her, like, on stage when she's telling a story. It was so good.
Well, I was like, what would make this even better is actually finding the graphic and actually.
Yeah, like, I literally did
and
that.
And so then I asked our graphic designer at Social, I was like, can you actually make this graphic and insert me? So I took the photo, and then she literally made it, and I think that's just what's really
the
took it to the top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cherry on top.
The details make all the difference. Yeah.
So good.
Well, today we want to talk about the fact that there is grace for everything in our lives.
Yeah.
And Taylor has just a really encouraging story of how God's done that in your life. And I think it's important to also bring out that Jay and I are Taylor lovers. Yes. We both have a Taylor of our own. Yes. And we love we love you, Taylor. So, you know.
Oh, that's where you were going. I was like, I love it, Taylor.
Wow, you guys are so lucky. I mean, we love you.
Yeah, you're great.
We do.
You are the bomb. I got a girl.
But we ain't talking about you.
I was talking about our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we both have Taylor daughters.
I have a 19-year-old daughter named Taylor.
Aaron loves you too. I don't want to leave
Taylor.
I'm
leave
Aaron out.
You're my only Taylor.
I love a Taylor.
I love a good Taylor. That's so funny. Anyway, back to Grace. So, what I love in talking about this is there are so many people, Christian, like they grew up Christian or not, who are asking that question, well, what about this thing I did? Yeah. What about this one thing? Or, you know, maybe even a string of things. And they just think God can't use me because of it.
Yeah.
Or grace works for everyone else, but not for me. Yeah. And we're just going to combat that today and let everybody know that that is never the case. But Taylor, your story is one that so many people can relate to because it really is that looking for love and trying to find what it is in life that will bring you satisfaction, even at a very, very young age. So tell us a little bit about what was going on in your mind, like even as young as high school in that area.
Well, I grew up as a pastor's daughter, right? So what my husband does now, evangelizing, traveling the world, he did that for like 20 years. So I grew up, my father did that my whole life. So I was born into ministry. At age 7, my parents divorced and it rocked our world. I think from there, just the split, it was a very unhealthy divorce. I don't think you can read enough books, get enough advice or counsel that helps you and prepares you for the proper way to walk through a divorce, right? And so because of the dysfunction, the instability, it created a lot of voids in my heart. And I didn't realize that at the time. I was just longing for stability, for consistency in my life. But whenever my parents split, just a lot of dysfunction came to the surface, right? And so from there, when I was about, 12 years old, my mom had a mental breakdown. And from the mental breakdown, that's whenever her journey of addiction began. She got addicted to antidepressants, and then one thing led to the next, right? So it was another void that was created. My mom was my hero. My dad is my hero as well. Love my family, but I think it'd be naive to believe that just because you're a believer, you won't face attack and hardships, right? Yeah. And so we love Jesus. Mm-hmm. We were in church, faithful in church, and yet there was great attack. There was a target on our family. And I think my parents were incredible, are incredible. But once again, this is just a part of our journey. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And so from there was a guy, you know, and my dad was traveling the world preaching Jesus. My mom was going through her journey of, you know, trying to navigate depression and, you know, mental illness. And so it wasn't the most stable home life. So it opened up many doors for me to pretty much do whatever I wanted to do. And here I was, a girl loving Jesus, loved the local church, serving in the local church, and yet so broken inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here comes this guy. I'm a cheerleader. He's a star basketball player. And it just kind of made sense. I think I was too immature, too broken to even begin to understand what a healthy relationship looked like. But he filled a void in my heart. And that's where I think probably the greatest strategy and trap of the enemy was that season of my life was bringing a boy along to fill the voids in my heart, which we know that no human can fill a void and take the place of Jesus, right? So I get into this relationship. I'm in it for 3 years. It's very dysfunctional. There's obviously grace for him as well, but just two broken people in a relationship that should have never been in a relationship. I'm in and out of this relationship more so because of him. Wanted me, didn't want me. Wanted me, didn't want me. I was just seeking for someone to love me and not leave me. I felt like I dealt with a lot of abandonment. Yeah. And so when he would come back around, it filled the void. And even though it was temporary, it was almost worth it. It was worth, even when he would walk away, just for that 10 minutes of him filling the void, it seemed that it was worth it to stay. Mm-hmm. And so 3 years later, I found myself 17. I'm pregnant out of wedlock. Definitely not the life that I ever thought I would live. But here I was. And for me, abortion wasn't an option. And also adoption wasn't an option. So I was like, okay, like, let's do this. I made really terrible decisions, but here we are. And I believe that we talk about the Savior that can make all things new. I believe that the baby is not the mistake. I made bad decisions, but I believe that God can redeem and restore. And there's purpose in my little boy's life, right? So I choose to have the baby, but I go into early labor. I believe it was like 32 weeks. It was Christmas Eve of 2005. And here we are, emergency C-section. And I give birth. I wake up because it was emergency C-section, so they put me under. And when I woke up, my, you know, mom and dad to each side of me, and they told me that my little boy, Micah, he didn't make it. He didn't survive. And so the umbilical cord wrapped around his little body, and he lost oxygen. And so from that moment, I remember so many things. I had experienced loss in so many different ways, right? Yeah. So a broken family. My mom was still available there, but like alive, but not living, you know? So there was that void, and then there was the reality of the dysfunction of that relationship and the abuse, not physical, but emotional. Yeah. And so here we are now. My baby was almost like the one thing that no one could take away from me. So I'm like, I'm going to raise this baby boy, us against the world, teach him the ways of Jesus, and watch God redeem my life. But God redeeming my life looks so differently than what I had expected. So here I am, 18 and a half hours, I hold my baby boy, and he was lifeless. But I remember in those 18 and a half hours, begging God. I believe there was a moment where my dad took his body and held him up and begged God to raise him, breathe your life into him. And it didn't happen. But that's the beauty and the pain, I think, of trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus isn't always easy, right? But that's the key, is that you can trust him despite what you see, despite what you feel. And so I held him for 18 and a half hours, and then the nurse came in to get him. And I remember the level of grief is something I'll never forget. I didn't know what tomorrow was going to look like. And it was another layer of loss, of one more thing that's being stripped from me. But as I laid there, I thought, man, dang, like the shame and the guilt that I felt because my terrible decisions had gotten me to this place. The pain that I caused my family, they were all grieving. The pain that I caused myself, and just my bad decisions got me here. I deserve this.
But then and also, at that age too, when you've been hurt by so many things in your life and then something like this happens, I would think there would be so many things going through your mind, like, God, why? Why did you take him? Why did you let this happen? Or even, is this my punishment? You know, is this something I deserve? And like you said, the way other people are hurt. And there's no way to understand for any of us at any age a situation like that. So that had to be so devastating.
Yeah, it's so interesting because my whole life I was raised in church. I was raised in ministry, so I know the talk, I know the language, the lingo, and we talk about this Savior. You know, we sing about him, you hear people preaching about him. I've had a relationship with him my whole life, but this was just different. The valley is different. The valley. Like,
when you're in it,
when you've tried every single thing, and here you are rock bottom. And so now it's like, okay, now it's time to put into practice what you are always singing about and what you're always hearing about, talking about. It's like, now walk out the truth of God. And do you believe that I am a redeemer? Do you believe that I can bring you peace in the chaos? Do you believe that I can give you strength in the midst of your frailties and your humanity and your weakness? Like, can I or can I not? And I remember, it's weird because I didn't doubt him. I didn't doubt him, and I didn't doubt that he could. I just didn't know, and I think the unknown is what's probably the scariest.
Yeah.
I don't know what's ahead. Yeah. But I know that you are who you say that you are. So hold my hand, hold me, and teach me how to walk this thing out. And so I'm 35 now, and I don't think you ever arrive to fully understanding, but I clung to. Is clung a word? I clung.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You clung.
I clung.
Clung, I think.
You did it.
Yeah. you stayed close to them.
When I tell you, but here's the deal too, is that it wasn't just Jesus, like, yes, applying the word, and but there were so many factors to my journey of healing. It was community, like, mm-hmm. surrounding myself with just the body of believers that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, calling things out of me that I didn't even know were there, lifting my arms, tear the roof off friends, right? Mm-hmm. They were willing to hold my arms and pull me forward. But then also it was the therapy dynamic. I had a counselor at 19 when I moved to Dallas and started pursuing, you know, a new life, right? The life that I was like, wait, this is what I was made to do. But therapy, I'm still in therapy. And my spirit-filled counselor has impacted my life, I would say, more than anyone in my life. The way she's walked me through healing and the lies that I believed and just the trauma, she just spoke truth to it. And right, what does the truth do? Like, it sets us free. So I have been on this journey of healing and freedom since I was 19. But there's so many elements to what it looked like to walk with Jesus through this, and it came through people, you know, how God uses people. And so it's been the ride of my life. But once again, like I said earlier, I wouldn't trade anything, because it's made me who I am today, and the things that have been birthed inside of me and have shaped me and made me, I know it was because of the valley that I walked through.
Mm-hmm. What a statement that is, mm-hmm. you know, that through all the hurt, that God can heal you to a place where mm-hmm. you can say those words. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is huge. And there are so many of our friends who are with us right now who need that desperately. And so we're going to go to a little clip from Joyce where she talks about the fact that it is the brokenness in our lives that God uses so often to bring out the beauty. So let's watch this, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
The Bible calls us jars of clay. And that God chooses to use foolish people so that the glory and the grandeur might be seen to be of Him and not of them. Or I like to say, God uses cracked pots. Now, you know, if I was going out to buy a pot, any sane person in this room, if you were going to buy a pot, who would choose this one with all the cracks in it? You wouldn't want to take that home. You'd even think a person was crazy to even have that in their store. No, we'd want the one that was all polished and shined up and looked all nice. But God wants to show Himself strong through us. Let's bring the lights down. Let me show you what happens. Now watch. There's a light in both of these pots. Now wait. In this one, the perfect pot that we would all like, the light's on, but you can't see it. Same light in here that's in the other one, but you can't see it. However, look what happens when you turn the light on in the cracked pot. I love this. So I'm just going to be a happy cracked pot. Here I am, this deliriously happy crackpot. I'm not going to worry about my cracks. I'm not going to be upset about my cracks. I don't even care if I don't get rid of my cracks. I am just going to be a happy crackpot. Amen? I tell you, some of my stuff's been around so long, I'm getting kind of comfortable with it. I'm starting to like it. I have a feeling I'll always be a little sassy. My mouth may always get me in just a little bit of trouble, but I'm quick to repent. Oh, Lord, there's nobody that can repent as quick as me. I mean, I can repent when I'm still in the middle of it. Come on now, why don't you just give up being mad at yourself because you're not the perfect pot? God chooses on purpose the weak and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He chooses what the world would throw away as trash. I thought later it was too late to do it, but I am going to get me a trash can and preach out of it one of these days. I'm going to get in that baby and I'm going to preach a whole message. because that's where the world would have put me, in the trash can. But God. Come on, but God.
But God, yeah, I love so that good. So much, because how many of us at any given point in our life, you know, there's probably something Absolutely. That just made us felt like we were throwaway material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God doesn't see it that way. Mm-hmm. So Taylor, you've talked about the lies that had to be undone mm-hmm. in your life. What were some of those lies?
Oh my gosh, the lies that had to be undone that are still being undone, yeah. you know? Right.
Yeah.
Not enough. I would say the lies of, I think, failure. Mm-hmm. Failure, failing as a, even now, a mom, failing as a wife, failing as a pastor, failing as a sister, failing as a friend, not enough in failure. And I believe that you spend the rest of your life overcoming. It's a daily renewing of the mind. Mm-hmm. His mercies are new every morning. It's asking for his help, because I believe we spend our lives becoming something, but also unbecoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like that tension, and I think the only way to overcome is clinging to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the vine, and begging him, asking him to come, and you overcome by the word of God through prayer. And once you overcome, you may have to overcome again mm-hmm. and again and again and again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I wake up every morning, and it's just one of those instant things, you know, the first thing is like, good morning, Lord, mm-hmm. and good morning, Holy Spirit, and I need you desperately today. Thank you for your mercies that are new yeah. today, mm-hmm. because it's so easy for the first thoughts in your morning to be, oh, that thing that I said yesterday,
mm-hmm. yep.
or that interaction that didn't go the way
yeah.
that it should have,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm just so grateful for what you're talking about, the fact that the lies that the enemy wants to fill our head with,
yeah. Yeah.
the things that we did that make us unusable, the things that make us trash,
yeah.
instead for those things to just be covered by the grace of God mm-hmm. and his mercy yeah. to give us something new every day.
And I think there's such, like, I'm so glad you said what you said, that there's freedom in knowing that it's okay that I have to get rid of that lie again today.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing of failing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel that and I think, Aaron, we just dealt with this last week.
Right.
Why are we here again? So now I'm failing at not failing and thinking I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And so it's just a cycle. So I think yeah. to know that there, God's grace shows up in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm doing the best I can, and I just have to daily commit this thing that I'm struggling with to him. And that's where his grace shows up the biggest.
Yeah.
When I realize it's like, stop trying and just keep going, keep mm-hmm. showing up. Mm-hmm. Like, at what point do you feel like you kind of got a grasp on the fact that those were even lies, and like you could see?
Gosh,
God helped you recognize, I guess.
Well, I feel like it's been a journey. I don't even say I have a specific like time frame, and I think mm-hmm. I still actually battle them and fight them.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the things that have been done, you spend your life undoing that. Even now, and I think different scenarios, different seasons bring those triggers
yeah.
out.
That's
so like
point.
Being married, it triggered stuff from my past.
I'm sure.
Not just being married. I'm happily married, and yet there's triggers. I have
sure.
children now, and there's triggers. Like mm-hmm. as a mother, because of, and I have a great relationship with my mom, right? But because of some of the decisions that were made, I deal a lot with, I don't want my kids to ever experience that abandonment,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of decisions that I've find myself making are based off of like worrying
yep.
if they're going to feel.
Yeah.
And one time my therapist
said, that makes
so
much sense.
She said, they're never going to feel because you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're not going to, because that ends up damaging them in the
right,
long run,
right,
you
yeah.
know? So it's something that I would say, and it's not even a negative thing. It's almost the thorn that Paul talks about. It keeps me leaned into the Spirit of God. Like, if we were perfect, if we lived this perfect life, you've heard it, we wouldn't need a Savior. Jesus mm-hmm. came, and he gave us access, and the cross was enough. And I think the biggest turning point in my life, I would say, there's not a date to it, but I remember the moment of when the Holy Spirit gently spoke to me and said, when you receive shame and you continue to walk in a life, daily life of wearing shame. Shame is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guilt is it's a heavy thing mm-hmm. to carry. When you receive it and you carry it and you wear it, what that simple action says that the cross wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. is the was the cross enough? Yeah. You talk about it, you preach about it. Was the cross enough or was it not? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, of course the cross was enough. Then receive my grace. Mm-hmm. Receive my love. And you receiving that and receiving grace is saying, dang, I don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
But through Christ, I can do all things.
Yeah.
You know, through Christ, I can forgive those who have hurt me so deeply. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, but through Christ, I can. Mm-hmm. And I choose to. And I may have to do it again tomorrow, yeah. but that's what grace is. Mm-hmm. Through the cross, I can love again and I can trust again. I don't want to trust again, but the cross says I can trust mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. You know, the cross says that I have another chance. I have another opportunity. And now what was once set out to destroy me is now... I have an anointing to speak to that thing and tell people how to walk this thing out. Not perfectly,
right.
but because I've overcome, I now carry an anointing for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to answer your question, you know, there wasn't that date, but there was that moment of saying, oh no, devil.
Yeah.
The cross, my Jesus? Like, it was enough, Father. So I'm going to choose to walk in this grace and tell people about my brokenness and that I'm so imperfect and I am a mess, but with Jesus... He is a God that makes all things new, and I believe it, and I walk in it. So now my favorite thing to say is that I want to spend the rest of my life making people feel less broken. Mm-hmm. And the way I do that is just by sharing how imperfect I am yeah. and how much I need Him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that really brings us all back to that hard aspect of forgiveness for ourselves,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, of being able to move past that shame that you're talking about. And you've said that you can really connect in ways to women in the Bible, like the woman at the well, for yeah. instance. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that that's been so helpful to you?
Well, I love her, and I love the story. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen The Chosen, but The Chosen really yes. just sent me over the edge
me
with
too.
The story.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, you know, her background, you know, outcast and many, many men and just a broken individual, you know. And then you look at Jesus, Savior of the world. Clearly, He's on a time, you know. Mm-hmm. A strict time, like frame, time limit, right? He's got to do.
Gotta die, rise again. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So much
a lot going on. Savior of the world, salvation, you know, it's like, this is a big deal. But yet, this is what I love about Him is yeah. like, He takes time to go sit, and He goes to where He's not supposed to go, technically, but He goes and He chooses to go to those places to sit, to have... His goal was to have one conversation with one woman because ultimately it would lead to a whole transformation of a city, right? But it's like He takes time. It shows me the importance of His intentionality, but also the importance of just one, the power of one conversation with one person, the person at the coffee shop, the person at the gas station, going through the drive-thru, saying hello. You know, it's like loving that person and being intentional with the person that's right in front of you, the power of that. But here, you know, she comes and she's doing her own thing, trying to avoid other women. And we all know the story. But He has this one conversation with this broken woman and literally everything changes. And I think it can sound so cliche, but it's so true. Just one touch from Jesus can transform everything. And it doesn't mean, like, I would love to know what was her journey like after that conversation. I guarantee you it wasn't perfect.
Right.
I guarantee you it wasn't like one conversation and like now everything's perfect, but it's that one moment and it's an encounter with Jesus is something that you'll never forget.
Mm-mm.
No one can take that from me. No one can take the moment when I was in the hospital room and I felt the presence of God enter the hospital room, holding my lifeless baby. It doesn't make sense to people. It's supernatural. Mm-hmm. But one moment, that one moment is what has carried me through. You know how often I revisit that moment? I revisited it this morning. I had tears in my eyes pulling up on the campus here because I'm like, and I'll do it right now. I'm like, it's overwhelming because I remember the moment of like devoting, like, Lord, I don't know how I got here, but man, like, I believe that You are who You say that You are. And I promise I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling this story of what You've done for me. So for me, this is a moment of like, I'm revisiting, and I don't ever want to forget. I believe it's like my mat. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should ever forget of just the moment where were you whenever you felt Jesus in bay? He's not limited to walls of a church. He'll meet you in your car. He'll meet you in the club. He will meet you anywhere, right? And the way he met me is what has carried me through. That's the picture, and that's what we have to remember. Mm-hmm. I think when we meet Jesus, we think everything's going to get better and change, and it's going to be perfect, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. When you meet Jesus, it's the moment you can't forget, but then he can meet you day in and day out, yeah. And that moment is what will carry you through for the rest of your mm-hmm. life. It's what's carried me, and I can't ever forget, and I believe that it was that encounter with Jesus, mm-hmm. and then that woman goes, and she begins to tell her story, right? So I feel so connected, because I'm like, that was me. I was a mess. I was so broken, and now all I want to do is just share what Jesus has done, mm-hmm. you know? So I just feel like I connect. That's I so connect good. With the dysfunction.
Kayla and I were talking another time recently, and you also mentioned the woman with the issue of blood.
Oh, love
and
her.
So I went and read that story. It had been a long time since yeah. I read about her. And then I watched The Chosen 2 and saw that part. I just weeped. But to see Jesus, this woman is so desperate and she's unclean and people yeah. won't go near her. And all she has to do, this will make me cry, she just has to touch him. She's yeah. so desperate to be anywhere near him. And he, there's like crowds of people around him and he feels her. And yeah. her desperation, and he stops, and he's not disgusted by her. He loves her, and he looks her in the eye. And to know that that is my Jesus, like you're saying, to have that moment with him, that is my Jesus.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care how yucky I am on the inside. He just wants to see me. He wanted mm-hmm. to look her in the eye, and he had her. And I think that speaks so much to what you're saying, that
yeah.
we don't gross him out. My ickiness isn't push him away. He just wants to be with me because I'm his. Like, I'm his yeah. girl.
And it doesn't take a huge grand gesture
no.
to get that encounter. It was a simple touch. It's just a simple, reaching out. It's a simple going to the well and minding your business and he'll meet you where you are. And that's been one of the most comforting things, mm-hmm. you know, when with someone like going through something and hearing you tell your story from your perspective and the fact that your name's Taylor, mm-hmm. if you were a black girl, there'd be a whole nother different thing too. Because I can see my daughter
yeah.
being able to tell this story and like something that was so hard for her to see, you know, her parents that were in ministry, you know, and to see you say that, you know, your parents were pastors, and it just gives me, it's one of my biggest fears too, because I to hear from her perspective, like when she's brave enough to say it, you know, but to hear how you've clung to Jesus, you've had your ups and downs, mm-hmm. but you're finding your way and you've found your way and you're yeah. doing good. Like, it's just, it's hope for yeah. me, because yeah. that's the biggest thing for me, is that like, as that's a part of, that's another little scar that I worry about, is, you know, like as a mom, because as a pastor's kid, I was striving for perfection. Like,
yeah.
you know, I didn't make any bad decisions. I didn't make any yeah. bad grades. And then this thing came up that was something I didn't even do.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, I'm like, am I a good mom?
Yeah.
You know, like, so, yeah.
But Jesus, he's got that moment for Taylor, and he knows.
Yeah.
He knows right now exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe she's already had it. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's a little bit every day. But what I love about the capacity of Christ is he has that for every one of us. And it's so specific
yeah. mm-hmm.
to what and when we need.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think about people right now who are saying, well, where's mine? Yeah. You know, where's my touch? Where's my time with Jesus?
Yeah.
Girl, don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, be there, because you don't know when
yeah.
Jesus is going to walk up to the well and say, could you give me a drink?
Yeah.
And it's because his love is so full, and he's able to do that for every single one of us, that no one is left out. That's what grace is all about.
Yeah. I literally still feel like I'm crawling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like I'm, a lot of times I feel like I'm crawling.
Sure, yeah.
Still, like, pushing through people, trying to figure out what is it, like, what does ministry look like for me, you know,
yeah.
look like for me? What does life look like for me? Like, I was talking to another pastor friend who went through a divorce at the same time. And she's pretty well known. And we were both talking last night, and it was just like, we're both, I'm like, we're sitting in our, I'm sitting in my living room in St. Louis and she's in Georgia. We're talking and she's like, girl, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Why are we single? Like we don't have our kids in the house. Like, and we're both living downtown and different, you know? So like, it's like, what does life look like? So it feels like a crawl.
Yeah, it's like, how did I get here?
How did I get here? Like, how am I just by myself at home? You know, like it's different. So that brokenness is still like the crawling, and I constantly keep reaching out, and it doesn't, because it doesn't feel the same as when I used to reach out before and touch him. Mm. It used to be almost instant, you know, like, you know, I could bounce back, but this thing, this piece of brokenness took me down. Yeah. And I'm grateful for you guys, like you were talking about those friends that helped. Like this was help. This I don't know. I can relate to your mom, like. Like, I don't know if I would have even been able to keep my mind if I weren't, like, still connected to this. Because it really was something that, especially in the middle of it, that I'm like, God, thank you. Because it shook me to the core. Like, mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, what you were saying to those that haven't felt like they've had the touch yet, just keep crawling. Like, yeah. Keep moving forward. He'll meet you.
So much of it is changing the way we're thinking. Because if we're thinking, you know, God has nothing for me, I'm not good enough for him, mm-hmm. then it limits how we're able to receive him. So we're going to listen to Joyce again, talking a little bit more about the opportunity for transformation for every one of us. And it begins with allowing God to renew our thoughts.
Yes. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. You know what that means? Don't let the world draw out a little box and cram you in it. Say, this is what you have to do if you want to be accepted by us. But be transformed, and that means change from the inside out, which only God can do. Christianity is not a program for behavior modification. Christianity is falling in love with Jesus and focusing on him until you become like him. And he changes you. Now watch how you're transformed. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many years did I think nobody liked me? People didn't like me. But now I know that God loves me. And so I think more about that than who doesn't like me. So if there's somebody that don't like me, I'm not thinking about it. So I don't know about it anyway.
There is so much that goes through our minds, like she's talking about, you know, somebody doesn't like me. That can derail your day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your life, your week, in such yes. powerful ways. And thinking the things that just fall into our head, and we don't have to be stuck in that place. And Taylor, I'm sure that, you know, let's be honest, there were probably many people in the church who are like, oh, look what's happened over here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be a problem for the rest of Taylor's life, not knowing yeah. that mm-hmm. God was going to use that very thing yeah. to shine his light through you.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm like, man, I keep saying this, but I'm still trying to overcome that as well, you know? I'm currently reading a book. It's The Rejection and Praise of Man. Mm-hmm. Obviously, don't let the rejection... Or don't let the praise go to your head.
Right.
Don't let the rejection go to your heart. And that's what I'm naturally a people pleaser. So I would say going through that season was so embarrassing, obviously. Mm. And here's the deal. I wasn't this young girl. And if you are and you're watching, there's grace for you. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't out here like wilding out. You know, like I literally, my heart, I'm a lover. I love. I can meet you today. And like now y'all will hear from me. All the time.
Because I can only
I love so deeply, right? And so I will say there was an incident where I remember I wanted to be free so bad, you know, but you know, I end up becoming sexually active, and that was not what I wanted. It wasn't what I wanted to satisfy and please the Father. But yet I kept making, you know, terrible decisions, and I don't know why. But I'll never forget, I would say my family, talk about practice what you preach, the grace and the level of forgiveness that my family had for me. They never put shame on me. Mm-hmm. They never, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, actually my father had a dream that I was pregnant. And that's how it all came to be. He said, are you pregnant? And he said, I had a dream that you're pregnant. And I'm like, no. And then I run to the store, get pregnancy tests, and I am pregnant. Mm-hmm. But when I told my dad, I remember him crying, but him saying, hey, he held my hand. We're going to get through this. Oh, wow. And so it was, that's Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Not condoning what I did, my bad behavior, but also loving me through it. And that's what impacted me more than anything. Yeah. But there was an incident. I remember there was Allstate Choir, and I was in the choir, and the choir director had called me to come drive 2 hours because he wanted to talk to me. The couple wanted to talk to me. And they called me out. I go out, and someone had reported to them that, you know, Taylor shouldn't be in the choir. And so they kicked me out of the Allstate Choir. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I remember that being so crushing because I was so it wasn't who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I was like living this terrible lifestyle. I just would have moments, but I needed church community. Mm-hmm. I needed support. I needed someone to look at me and tell me and call me higher. And I did have people that did that. But there was that moment. And I remember, oh my gosh, like I'm getting kicked out of the Allstate Choir and how embarrassing and how shameful. But once again, the grace of God used that. Even now as a pastor, it's taught me how to navigate people because people are human and people have usually you pull people in, it's like they're gifted, they're talented, they have, and then it's like you see this side, and then all of a sudden you get a little bit closer and now you start to see the humanity. So what do? You just dismiss people? No. You hold their hand and you love them through it and you take them on a journey because that is what the cross is about. We're all on a journey. And so if anything, it equipped me and gave me tools on how to navigate the humanity of an individual.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. What a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And a really important gift that we all need. And so then as you're talking right now to some people who have had that feeling, that strong, strong feeling that there's no coming back from what I just did. There's no way God can use me in this circumstance. What do you say to them to encourage them that's not how our God works?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it because the cross, it was so ugly. It was so dirty. It was so painful. I mean, there's nothing worse than crucifixion. And so, but yet it led to our salvation, our freedom, our eternal life through the cross, the finished work of the cross. And the ugliest parts of my life, the mountaintop is great. I love the mountain. We all love the mountain.
It's a good place.
It's nice up there. Good. Yeah, we like the mountain.
Air is fresher. Yeah, it's nice.
It's, you know, but it's like, but I would say I learned who Christ was for myself, not because of what someone else said, but because of what the way he met me, it was the valley. And that is what has made me who I am today. And so the reality is that you're going to have moments of failure. If you're not, I need to meet the person who hasn't failed and made, you know, mistakes in their life.
Yeah.
But now I would say the level of authority that I speak to when someone comes up to me and says, I'm walking through a divorce, the level of authority, and I believe anointing that is on my life to speak to that thing, I wouldn't be able to speak to it had I not faced it. Almost anyone that you speak to that, look at Joyce, her story and the way she shares it, like that is who our God is.
Right.
And so to the person that has made terrible decisions, to the person that is going through the valley, stay faithful.
Yeah.
Not stay even strong because God uses our weakness.
Right.
If you're weak, lean in.
Yeah.
Lean into the Spirit of God. If you're confused, lean into the Spirit of God. If you're lost, and lean into the Spirit of God. Keep showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay consistent in God's word. Stay consistent. Crawl your way to the presence of God every single day. Mm-hmm. And there will come a time, in due time, we don't know the time, and that's the challenge. That's where it gets hard, is I don't know when this is going to end. Yeah. I don't know when I'm going to see a glimpse of hope again. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's on the way.
And when you get on the other side of it, I believe that the way I have gained strength is seeing, as I speak to it, the others that overcome because I didn't give up. Mm-hmm. That's the power. Oh, yeah. Is I didn't, I think the, sometimes we don't know how to fight for ourselves, right? We don't even see ourselves worthy enough to fight for. But when you sometimes put on the other side, I'm actually fighting for someone else's victory, then now all of a sudden I have this grit of like, oh no, I'm gonna overcome because there's thousands of people. If you would have told me of the thousands that have heard the testimony of Jesus in my life, I wouldn't have believed you. But now because I overcame, thousands upon thousands upon thousands will overcome because if he did it for me, I share the story. I am a trophy. I say I'm a trophy of grace. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a trophy of grace. And I'm, once again, imperfect, can't say that enough. But now because I overcame, now thousands upon thousands, millions, I declare millions upon millions, that anyone who sits under the sound of my voice, the Holy Spirit speaking through me, will now live a victorious life because 100%. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. That ain't a church phrase. That's reality. If he did it for Taylor Madu, if he forgave me, if he washed me clean, the blood, the cross was enough. If he made it new for me, he can make it new for you.
Mm-hmm. There's always space to start over. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he's all about. It's not even just transformation. It's not even just taking this little mess and dressing it up and putting a Band-Aid on it. It's a completely new beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that says so much to me because we all have our stuff, you know, we all have our things. And because of who God is, those are the things that he uses in our life if we let him. Mm-hmm. But there are so many times that we get in that way.
Yeah.
That we are the barrier that's saying, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not, you know, pretty enough, perfect enough, whatever it may be. And God just wants us to tear down those excuses and say, just step back and watch and see what I do.
Yeah. It's just the fact that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, you know, and that's what's fueled my crawl.
Yeah.
What's fueled my crawl is knowing that my testimony is causing me to overcome. It pushes me forward in the crawl, but I know that it's helping somebody else, you know, and that's why, like, so many people are like, well, why in the world would you talk? Because I think your sister had asked me, like, have you shared your journey, like, before? I'm like, yeah, because I wish I had more people that would have shared it for me when I was going through it
in
the middle of it. How do I act when I don't know what to say when I'm praying for, you know, this, or when I've stood on the word that my family's going to come together and it still doesn't? Like, what do I do? There aren't a lot of people that weren't overly spiritual. So I'm like, I'm just going to tell how I really feel. When I say I'm angry, I was angry. But I kept people around me. You know, not a whole lot. I got rid of a lot of people for real.
Like, protect yourself.
I had to protect myself. I didn't want super corny. Like, I couldn't have that. Like, I needed only a few people around me that would be able to be like, yeah, girl, that's right. But Jesus said this. Like,
that
was you. This one's more like, yeah, girl, that's right. This one's like, yeah, that's right. But Jesus, this. And so, like, just having that balance in my life has helped me. But seriously, sharing the testimony and keeping God at the center and keeping people around you that will speak truth to you, like, that does help. Like, the testimony helps. Don't let the brokenness shut you up.
I think every time I've noticed, and you can speak to this as well, but every time I share and then I hear someone say, Your story changed my life. I gained strength.
Oh, yeah.
Strength. So it's like I get stronger every time. Today I'm getting stronger. It's that rep.
Yeah, it pushes you forward. Because it's like there's got to be purpose behind the pain. What's God going to do to turn this thing for my good? Mm-hmm. So I can't give up because I need to see what's on the other side of this. And I need to see who, like, somebody needs to hear this, you know?
Right.
So I have to keep going.
Yeah. And there's something on the other side for all of us.
Yeah.
So we just want to encourage all of you. If you've been listening, I know that you've been encouraged by Taylor's story, by everything that we're all sharing. And most importantly is don't give up mm-hmm. on the possibilities mm-hmm. of what God may have for you. It's one thing to say, I don't know if God can use me. And it's another thing to say, I'm not even going to give him a chance to find out.
Right. Yeah.
So just open the door of your heart yeah. and say, okay, God, if you have grace for me, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. And see what he does. We love to share with you God's word. So we do have a free resource for you today. We are offering you a digital audio download, absolutely free. And it's called Changed by Grace. So the best way to understand this is to dig into the word of God and see what it really says about you, about your life. Because that moment that Jesus can reach out and touch you mm-hmm. is available, and it's real, and it will happen. Also, you can get that resource at joycemeyer.org/talkitout. And then, of course, you can find out all of our past episodes, and you can share it with other people. Make sure you subscribe. And we just, more than anything, we really want to encourage you. You may be a cracked pot. Well, welcome to the rest of us.
Come on in.
But we are glad to have you with us, and God is going to shine through you. Taylor, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are the best.
Such an encouragement and inspiration. Thank you all very much. And we will see everyone next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout is a wonderful place. Go there for today's resource to check out all of the episodes and to get to know us a little better. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen or watch Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, and let us know what you're thinking. Your voice is important to us.